I was jealous. I got to go with Adam and Cheryl on two trips to Israel, and they were very fulfilling. But you know, Reggie, you prophesied before they left about the game changer. And I'm just sensing that there's been a game changer. It's been an opening of the hearts, and there's been a change in the atmosphere, I think. Well, just again, when I was hearing your testimony, I mean, it was like God was saying yes and amen. So it's a new day. It's a new day.
And then, by the way, we missed you guys.
Well, we've... You know, it's just, but I think it was, you know, you got to go when the Lord wants you to go. And, well, anyway. God given desires. Do you have any? Anyway, Lord, I just, help me, Lord, to bring a word that's encouraging, but that's truth, Lord, in your word, that we can take from your word what you want us to have. For the days to come, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God has things. He's put things in us, and there's something worthy in us that He wants to save us. He wants us to make it. The trouble is sometimes we don't know who us is. Is that English? Who us is? Who us are? And sometimes we don't realize. And we try thinking God's saving something that He's not saving. You ever thought about that? That we might be hanging on to things that God doesn't want to hang on to. But anyway, our soul was defiled by sin, and it got all messed up. It got all messed up so that we don't sometimes even know. And we catch a little glimpse here and there, and sometimes we try to run after things in a wrong way, but so God is at work to rescue, restore, and release all of us for His purposes. So I was listening to a message, I don't know, 10 years ago, down at the Lutheran Conference on the Holy Spirit down in North Heights. And Graham Cook was there from, I don't know, he was from California at that time, but I think he grew up in England or someplace. And he mentioned three things that are in every man and woman. And I want to take a look at those three desires today. And if we're not careful, these desires can lead us down wrong paths. But God, through Jesus, has redeemed and rescued us from this world. And He wants to fulfill His desires in us and in you. There they are. Three desires. To be loved, to belong, and to be significant. That makes sense? Everybody has a desire to be loved. You want to belong to something, and you want to be significant. So there's other desires, but these three kind of capture something. But I can tell you, the only fulfillment of these desires will come as you follow the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you'll ever get these desires really satisfied. We'll never find any of these by pursuing them. You get that? If you try to get those things, and try to run after them, you won't find them. You won't get them. You get something, but you won't get the God-given desire. If you want to be fulfilled in these desires, it's all about being led by the Holy Spirit. It's all about hearing and obeying. The flesh is all about self. God is all about others. Catch that? The flesh always thinks about me. God and the Spirit and the new creation always thinks about others. Okay? Others become more important than me. God never said, find love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Go find it. He never said that. What did He say? Love will flow out of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. But I thought I had a need to be loved. Well, you probably do. But the commandment was to love your neighbor and to love yourself. But first of all, it was to love God with all your heart, with all your mind. Then to love. But it's always an outward thing. But you gotta somehow have this other desire in you that you are loved. That I'm loved. If I don't know that I'm loved, then it's like a heat-sinking missile. You know, it's got fired out there and it's looking for something out there to hit. So the same thing is true about belonging and significance. Our attitude must be the same as that which is in Christ Jesus, who only had others in mind, not Himself. Did you get that? Jesus always had others in mind, not Himself. In fact, He lost it all for us. He wasn't thinking about Himself. And it said, have that attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Our fallen nature was all about fulfilling self. Christ's nature is all about seeing others fulfilled. So, if that's really in us, it's an outward thing. And you'll find out that when you start letting it flow out, something else happened. So in seeing these desires fulfilled in us, we must not focus on finding them, but rather by faith following the Lord and believe Him. Have faith in God and His Word, and you find things in the Word that are incredible. So what I hope to do is so that God through Jesus and His Holy Spirit will fulfill these desires in you. For He who began this work when you first said yes, when you first believed on the Lord, He's the one who will bring it to pass. So let's take a look here. Be loved. I put a note in here. There's a song. What song am I thinking about, Bob? That's the one. You can come up and take a look, but I knew Bob would know. But that's true. Why did that song ever get written? Because people are looking for love in all the wrong places. I mean, and we all have a desire to be loved. And it was God who put that desire in us. The rulers and the powers that be have perverted that desire. But God has restored His true desire in us when we were born again. When you were born again, you got the Spirit of Christ in you, and that Spirit of Christ is truth. And the truth is what we want, not the perversion, okay? Because the perversion never satisfies anyone. I don't know if anybody of you have before you were saved tried to find love. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we who are baptized into His death have received His eternal life in us. And that's at work in us, to do in what is pleasing in God's, to do unto will what is pleasing in God's sight. So to be loved according to God is to be restored to His love for us. His love for us. We love because He first loved us. So out of being satisfied in His love, we can now love one another in righteousness, not in perversion. If we're not fulfilled in the love of God, if you haven't got that right, I don't know that you can really love someone else correctly. And I think if you don't have that love satisfied, I think, I remember Wes. He said, the world is like a couple of parasites trying to feed off each other. You know that a parasite needs a host. If you got, I mean, they got to have something to feed off of. But if you got two parasites trying to feed off of each other, it's kind of a dry deal. But he said that's how the world is. Wes was saying he just watches and people are trying to bleed each other and there's nothing to get because there's no supply. Our supply is in the Lord. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Wow. God has bestowed honor upon us and given us His love. For God so loved the world that He gave. It cost God death of His only begotten Son to bestow this love on us. But this love that came through Jesus is the true, real deal love. It's the love that satisfies. It's the love that will, I got that. It's the thing you look for, and then when you finally get it, you're resting in that love. And you rest in His love. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down His life for His friends. Jesus laid down His life for you. No one can love you more than God loves you. His love surpasses all other love. Once you have believed and experienced this love, you will be satisfied. But you cannot truly experience God's love without faith. In fact, you don't get anything from God unless you first believe. In Mark 11 it says, believe that you have received and it shall be given to you. I mean, that's kind of illogical, you know, especially if you're from Missouri. Anybody from Missouri? Missouri is the show me state. I mean, they had the old, what was the Mule, the magazine or something, but it was, show me. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Therefore, I cut out a little bit, but therefore from now on we'll recognize no man according to the flesh. This is a powerful verse if you ever catch on to it. We're speaking about the love of Christ. Now, but today I want you to grab on to this. It's the love of Christ. Okay? We're controlled by the love of Christ, but what love is that? It's the love of Christ. It's not a different kind of love. It's the love that Jesus loves you with. The love that we're talking about here is the same love that Jesus loves you with. And Jesus then, the bottom part there, I want you to know that therefore from now on, Jesus does not view you according to the flesh. He doesn't view you according to your sin and your sinful nature. That's not how God is looking at you anymore. Why? Because sin, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Did He do it? Was the Scripture true? If it was, then He knows that. And He's not viewing you according to your sinful nature. Some people, that can be hard to even believe. And if you have a tendency to be a little judgmental, you don't want to give it up. Because if you give it up, then you got to accept people that maybe aren't so acceptable in your own eyes. But I'm telling you, this is Scripture. This is the love of Christ. This is His love. We sometimes might think that if we miss the mark, which is another way of saying sin, that God stops loving us. That's not true. Not only does He not stop loving us, but He does not recognize us according to that sin. God's love for us is based on the fact that He died for all, therefore all died. When we must base our love on one another, then we must base our love for one another on the same conclusion. Okay? That His love controls us, concluding that one fact. That one died for all, therefore all died. If He dealt with this sin, if He dealt with the sin on the cross, why is it still tripping me up? Why does your sin or my sin, why is it still coming between us? Do we have good news? Well, if we have the good news, let's live it. Let's love one another. And you say, well, this sounds like free for all from the 70s. Let's have another Woodstock. I'm telling you, once you're controlled by Christ's love, once the Holy Spirit takes over you, you're not just free to do whatever. You're free to follow righteousness. You were a slave to sin, now you've become a slave to righteousness. It doesn't mean that you're freed from sin. I'm free. No, it's not that I'm just free to do whatever. I'm free to follow the Lord. Remember Bob Dylan's one of his songs? You're going to have to serve somebody. I don't know where Bob Dylan is today, but he wrote that song. It was kind of in a time when he was dealing with his faith. You're going to have to serve somebody. Either you're going to serve the devil or you're going to serve the Lord. All right. We love because He first loved us. He loves us according to His work on the cross. We must love others according to His work on the cross. Okay? He loves us out of His work on the cross. The love of Christ controls us, including that fact that one died for all, therefore all died. So being loved of God, we no longer need to be loved, but rather we are able to love. Once you have been secure in that, you can't help but let it flow out of you. In Matthew 18, it talks about the guy who was forgiven the big debt. And then he went and choked his friend for $10. And it didn't go well. Once you've understood and received that love of God, how can you not freely give that love to others? Why do we get so tripped up when people do it wrong? You have to answer that question for yourself. Because if what we just read is true, then love is what controls me, not sin. Not somebody's sin. Somebody's sin doesn't control me anymore. I am controlled by the love of Christ. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Is that true? I mean, is it true? And then we're controlled by love? What do we do when someone does something wrong to us? How are we to respond? How are we to act? Well, you don't throw out love. I'll tell you that much. You better hang on to love. And if you have something to say, hopefully you can say it as your lips immerse out of the love of God. And then dip back into the love of God. If you have something to say, we can speak the truth in love. We don't practice that very well. We just kind of let it fly. We'll love you later. I'll patch it up after a while, but right now I'm just going to let you have it like you deserve it. Don't read James, because what does it say in James? It says that mercy triumphs over judgment, and I will be merciless to those who have shown no mercy. You know, there are scary verses out there. That one I just, you dwell on that, you know, you get someplace. So God is not taking into account. If this is His Word, and He is love, and He's dealt with sin, God is not taking into account the sins. How about that? How about how God is dealing with us? Last time I preached out of Psalm 103, that God does not deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our iniquity. It's a good lesson. If we're going to follow after God, then we don't do that either. When God's love is not understood, then we treat one another according to the world's understanding. And we treat one another according to how the world wants to deal with things. Sadly, the world's understanding of love has crept into the church. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out all love, or casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. I tell you what, if you're dyslexic, you really got to slow down so you get it right. All right, let me read that correctly now. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. What's this fear all about? What's the last part of that? Because fear involves what? Punishment. Wow. If in fact God is not out to punish us any longer, you know, God hasn't changed from the beginning. This creation hasn't changed God one bit. But the cross changed the creation. So, after the cross, things have changed.
Punish ourselves.
What was that?
Punish ourselves because we don't believe it.
Yeah. So, God is not angry with you. His discipline is always based in love, not out of judgment or punishment. Okay? He still disciplines us. But we could learn a lot if we really grabbed onto this as parents. We could learn a lot. Because no longer would we be disciplining with punishment and judgment, but we'd be disciplining with love, thinking of the child's welfare, not my satisfaction. You ever do that to me again? I mean, you made me look like a real jerk there at Walmart. And you're never going to do that again. Who's that about? It's all about me. I'm not thinking about the kid. If you're disciplining your children to satisfy your desires, you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark. Any discipline is always for their welfare, if it's got the love of God in it. God always has our best interest in mind. We need to have other people's best interest in mind. And if you're going to prophesy, you might want to have the love of God settled in your heart. Our old nature taught us to look out for ourselves first. Christ's nature always is looking out for other people's welfare. So everyone has a need to belong. This need is so strong that we'll almost do anything to be accepted into the group. Group leaders can use this desire to control those wanting to belong. Young people get involved with gangs to belong. They dress certain ways to show that they belong. The reward is just to be counted as one of the group. I'm a so-and-so. And that's the misdirected sense of belonging. You see, if you chase after it, if I want to chase after belonging something, I want to belong, I need to belong, and I maybe if I get married, I'll belong. You're going to start out a little rocky. How can I belong? I need to belong someplace. And if it's not satisfied, you'll go someplace to look for it. Without understanding of this God-given desire, we can misdirect it. There's strong desires and must be fulfilled in God. But again, God has fulfilled this desire in us. But again, it can only be realized by faith. And I'll go back to this 1 John 3. This is wonderful. We are children of the Creator of the universe. Huh? You're a child of the Creator of the universe. The very one who created the universe has now caused you to be born again into His family. You are a child of God. I mean, what possibly out there could trump that one? What kind of a group do you want to get involved with that could trump being a child of God? It certainly isn't Mount Zion. I mean, we can be together in a group here, but I'm telling you, get connected to Jesus and be a child of His, because that's the important connection. That's the belonging. When we first started this fellowship, one of the first words that come to us is, "Do not brand my sheep. Do not brand my sheep." We've been trying to be careful not to do that. Sometimes sheep want to be branded. But that's another story. We're children of the King of Kings. We belong to the family. We're all families derive their name from Him. We're part of that family. There's no place more important. We belong to the best, the most powerful, the most honored, the most glorious family. You belong to that. I mean, how much more satisfied could we ever want to be than to belong to the family of God? We can only imagine all that God has in store for us who call Him by name. I mean, how much more? This is one of my favorite songs, "Fear Not." But I like this song. It's talking about Israel. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Wow. Now, He's speaking to Israel here. Okay. This is God's heart and intent for all of His people. And He's made known His heart by how He has dealt with and how He is dealing with Israel today. Israel is, what did our cat say? Israel is a chosen people, but I wish He had chosen someone else, he said. But sometimes He made His heart known. I mean, you look at the Old Testament Scripture, you see the heart of God when you look at how God deals with Israel, and even yet today. He says, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. But in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed and called by name. We now have received a new name. Christ ones. We are called Christians because we are Christ-like. We've received the Spirit of Christ in us. So what does it mean to be redeemed? You ever thought about that word? What does the word redemption mean? You've been redeemed. The best illustration I can give you is if you go hawk your car at the pawn shop. Everybody can get this one. And then you go and buy it back. And now it's yours again. You had given it up. You had given it up for whatever, a bowl of soup. Whatever you gave it up for, you gave it up. And then, you know, you don't even have to buy it back. I could go buy it back for you. Maybe you didn't have the money. We gave it up. By one man's sin, we were given over. And we were lost. And Jesus redeemed us. He come and bought us back. He bought us back. You were bought with a price. You're no longer yourself. You don't own yourself. You were bought. You belong to the Lord. You belong to Him. But He bought you back with His precious blood. We've been redeemed. We belong to the rulers of this world and to the kingdom of darkness, and our Father sent His only begotten Son to redeem us back, to bring us back into His family? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, that who is from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. So who do you belong to? I was thinking about, I was sitting in Jeanette's class Wednesday night. We were filming, and that came up so strong that night about who do you belong to? We're not our own. But have you ever considered that? Who do you belong to? You know, it's good to know this because in 1 Corinthians 15 it says, then comes the end, and then all those who belong to Him get caught up. All those who belong to Him. You want to make sure that you belong to Him. You want to give yourself over to Him because that's where your safety is. That's where your protection is. He's a good God. Through the fall of man, we got the idea that we had our own identity, that we somehow had the capability to choose our own way. I'm telling you, you probably don't have as much independence as you think. That was a lie more than anything. But we thought we became independent. God, however, was our Creator, and He's also our Redeemer. Man belonged to God, fell into sin, and was owned by the ruler of this world, and now man has been redeemed back to God. This redemption is complete, but it is only realized or fulfilled by faith in Jesus Christ. By Jesus' death on the cross, our old man was utterly destroyed. When he died, I died. Utterly destroyed. And I made a statement recently that everybody kind of has this idea that God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. But the Scripture doesn't bear witness to that. The Scripture says He hated the sin and He destroyed the sinner. And until we understand that we were crucified with Christ, until we understand that when He died, I died, we give ourselves permission to live because we don't have the faith. But I'm telling you, He destroyed the sinner, but He saved me. He saved me. It's no longer I that sin, but sin dwells within me. I've been saved, I've been redeemed, now I have the life of Christ in me. You have been saved. But the sinner, the old man, the flesh, was crucified. And until you believe that, until you receive that, until you have faith for that, you still struggle and struggle and struggle with sin. The old man was utterly destroyed. Through the resurrection of Jesus, I'm born again to a living hope. So now we walk in submission to God as children of God. We find our complete satisfaction of belonging by becoming obedient to righteousness. By submitting and obeying. In our daily walk, we do not need to belong, but rather we give ourselves. I want you to catch on to this. We give ourselves and we belong to them. We belong to them. In other words, if you want to be first in the kingdom, what is it? To be a servant of all. You want to be number one in the kingdom, become a bond slave to all. You give yourself and you belong to others is where you find your belonging. You belong by God. You can give yourself now to others freely. You can belong to others. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Being significant means that we feel our existence has been useful. Again, if you pursue being significant for your satisfaction, you'll never find it. You'll only find it by following and obeying the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, you are a living stone being built into a temple, a dwelling place for God in His kingdom. Every stone in that temple is significant. If you don't understand how precious you are to the Lord, if you don't understand that you are a living stone being built into a temple not made with hands for a dwelling place of God Himself, a temple, an eternal temple, one that never goes away, you are significant. But you'll only find that by obeying the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, you are that living stone. Paul Kyle once said to me, I remember Paul Kyle. On the day you were born, I danced over you. That's one of his songs. He said, success for a Christian, listen now, success for a Christian is not attainable. You can't attain to success. How many of you are on a success journey in the Lord? But he said you cannot attain to success in the Lord. In other words, you put your post out here. This is success, and I'm here, and I'm working towards this thing, and one day I get there. I'm successful. The truth of the matter is, if you're right here, you can't ever get to there. You can't attain to success. He said, but success for a Christian is always available. I can be successful right here. All I have to do is have faith and do what God wants me to do, and I'm successful. And if I do that, the next hour I'm successful if I do it. In other words, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day. Hear Him. You're successful when you follow the Lord. You can't get to be successful. You know, if we had a church that was, well, what are they? There's probably some numbers. I haven't looked, but if a church grows up to so many people, then you're successful. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am successful. So, the world puts us on a treadmill to be significant and to find success. However, you cannot attain to success in the Lord. If you want to really be significant, read this verse. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. You know, we've been getting all these words about being ready, being ready, being ready. How many of you ever gotten ready for a wedding? Who's the most important one at the wedding? Usually the bride. I mean, it was every wedding I've been at. In fact, I've been told that If you're going to pastor a wedding, if you're going to have a wedding, just listen to the bride. The husband, just listen to the bride. It'll go well with you. But the point is that the bride here has made herself ready. We're the bride. Everybody who has been born again is part of this bride, and she made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. Bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, if you read this from a carnal, worldly understanding, You might start going out and pursuing righteous acts. Let me get, Mary, give me a list, man. I want to get this thing done. I want to be ready. So if you just give me a list, I'll go out and do all these righteous acts and then I'll be ready. That's not it. You remember Abraham? And it was counted to him as righteousness. What was that? He did what? He believed. So guess what makes us unrighteous? Unbelief. Believe God. Believe God. If we stop believing, we're going down the wrong path. And we're not getting ready. We need to believe. So righteous acts are those things you've done by believing God. It's the availability. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Righteous act. It's believing God. Believing Him. It's not about doing. It's about believing. Just doing good for good's sake is not a righteous act. It may be a good thing, but unless you're doing it by faith, it's not a righteous act. So again, significance is not measured by accomplishments in this world, but rather on our relationship with God through obedience and believing in the Holy Spirit. So, I'll end it with this verse right here. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Do you believe it? It's not about you getting it right. It's about believing that he got it right for you. It's about him who on the cross brought us in and loved us. He loved us so much he gave his only begotten son to die for us. He brought us into his family. We belong. You belong. You belong to God. You were bought with a price. And then the Holy Spirit has a detailed plan just for me. And if I follow Him, He has significant things for me to do. But by being in Him, I am a living stone in His temple. I'm built right into Him. So my life is hid with Christ in God forever. 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 This is true for you today. This isn't about heaven. This is about today. This is about now. We are truly satisfied in God today. And we don't have to be running around this world looking to be loved, looking to belong, or looking to be significant. We can let it flow out of us. Love can flow out of us. We can belong to others. And we can actually let someone else take the glory. You don't have to receive the glory for what you've done. You can let someone else take the credit. Give up your significance and you'll find it. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the testimony that we've heard. But Lord, I pray that we can grow in our understanding of you so that we can be settled in you and that love can flow amongst us and that love can flow out from us, that we can be a people that know your love and know what it is to be a part of you. Lord, Reveal that to each one here today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Must be going to do a song.
Do we have a communion?
Oh, we got communion. Rocky, you're supposed to be on me.
No.
We are having communion. I forgot, though. You want to deal with that? I'll pull it out here, though.